On another exciting episode of the Animation Deliberation Podcast, things are getting heated up much sooner than we expected, and we are excited to talk about it. We are talking Demon Slayer Season 3, Episode 3, A Sword from Over 300 Years Ago, right after these ads we have no control over.
Sing along if you know the words. A 1, 2, 3, it's time for Animation Deliberation, a conversation and a celebration of our favorite action animated series. Yeah,
welcome back to another episode of Animation Deliberation, the podcast where we take action animation and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. We are your hosts. I am Zuhair Ali.
My name is Jay Scotty St. Clair.
And I am Andrew Rogers, who remembered the thing that he wanted to say last week. We ended the podcast on a cliffhanger where I couldn't remember it, and then staring at our notes for the show, I suddenly remembered it 10 seconds in. I was just going to make the comparison that we're just getting really close to all of the animes lining up with Attack on Titan, you know, A Tale from 1,000 Years Ago, and now we have Demon Slayer with A Sword from 300 Years Ago. I want to see the convergence. Can someone make this map for me?
700 years in the making.
700. 700 or 1,300?
Oh, yeah. My bad.
So instead of Titans, we're in this post-Eren apocalyptic world where the people who survive turn into demons instead?
Yes.
Could be before as well. Like, the Titans are just going to come at the end of this show and suddenly wipe everyone out.
The rumbling's not even over. It just reached Japan.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, that's one way to start this off.
Yeah.
We didn't have better plans.
We don't have plans. Quick spoiler-free thing that I want to address is that we talked last week about, with this being 11 episodes, what is the pacing going to be like? How much fluff are we going to get? Is it going to feel fillery? My prediction was one, maybe two more build-up episodes, but they were just like, nah, screw it. Let's get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have any thoughts on just how things played out, or are we more excited to just get to it?
Without getting spoilery, I'll just say the first third of the episode had me tickled pink. If you catch my drift. It was a very light and fluffy tone, and then that hard pivot to a different tone was unexpected, but very welcome when it came.
Yeah, hard pivot is a word, because within the span of like 30 seconds, we go to a scene that verbally had me going, aw, at what was on screen, to horrified cringing in the seat, like, oh god, this is what's happening. Like, they just almost whiplash, but I'm okay with it, because like you said, we're getting the ball rolling. So it's a fun way to really get into it. And I wonder if we're going to slow back down at some point, because it feels really early to do this. But the slowdown might be as simple as, oh, we're going to do a backstory episode where we talk about one of the Hashira or something along those lines. But yeah, we're off to the races, that's for sure.
Yeah, we went from dotted eyes to breathing stopping really quick.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, even on the point that you just said, like, we're going to dive right in. But first, we're going to talk about one of the coolest blenders that I get to use every single day. We are here to talk about the BlendJet.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And let me also just say, listeners, thank you for supporting the brands that support us, because we couldn't be, you know, giving this ad read without them and without you, you know, lending that to them. So thank you all.
All right. Now, something that we know for a fact you guys have been waiting for, this synopsis, so we can get to spoiler talk.
Let's do it. So we are talking Demon Slayer Season 3, Episode 3, A Sword from Over 300 Years Ago. All right. To the disappointment of Tanjiro and Kotetsu, The sword revealed to be hidden within the mechanical doll is tarnished and rusted. Haganazuka arrives, and now extremely muscle, from solitary training to be able to forge a better sword for Tanjiro. Intending to restore the ancient sword, he gives Tanjiro another one in the meantime. The next day, Tanjiro attempts to befriend Ginyu, but is rebuffed, though he notices he had regrown a lost tooth. Unbeknownst to all, Gyoko and Hantingu, have infiltrated the swordsmith village. Hantingu finds Tanjiro, Nezuko, and Muichiro, who beheads him. Two individual demons then regenerate from the severed body and head.
After one of them, Kairuka, blasts Muichiro away with his wind, the other, Sekido, nearly electrocutes Tanjiro with a staff before Genya appears and beheads them both with a sawed-off shotgun and a Nichirin knife. However, the demon splits in two again. One of them deafens Tanjiro with a sonic attack, while Nezuko tries to defend Genya from the other wielding a spear. Meanwhile, Muichiro runs back to assist, but find Kotetsu being attacked by a fish-like demon. Initially electing not to help him, he saves him before he is eaten after remembering Tanjiro's words about helping others, eventually helping him.
This is a cool thing about synopsis, because I realized something that didn't occur to me in the shock of the scene that I was watching at 1:30 in the morning last night. Genya's tooth growing back, I was concerned how they had a potentially major character get stabbed so soon. That looked quite fatal. I'm wondering what type of regenerative ability he seems to have now.
Yeah, there's some demon questions going around in my head, because that's the one group of people we've seen regenerate a bunch of times. So, I don't know.
We've seen him in the daylight before, right? Did he break his arm? Yeah, because during the Demon Slayer exam, like, it ended when the sun came up, and it was like, all right, who made it? So when Tanjiro broke his arm, which is another reason I like rewatches so much, I can remember things like that, the sun was already up. So he's not a demon, but, like, he said he had some explaining to do to his brother, so, like, maybe he recently became, I don't know.
Demon harvesting powers or something? He's just shooting up that demon blood?
If Inosuke has the ability to move his vital organs around within his body, I think, you know, growing back a tooth or something like that is not outside of the realm of possibility for even our non-demon characters. And the fact that he is related to a Hashira, although the demon that stabbed him called him out as being very weak, I think we're just seeing the beginning of Genya's potential. So I was concerned when I saw him get stabbed, but I don't think it's the end for him. I think he's going to be around and be a vital contributor to this fight that's just really started in earnest in this episode.
See, it's actually the animators didn't want to follow along the manga and continue to draw this character without a tooth, so they just took the easy way out and he regrew the tooth, and they're like, we don't have to draw him weird anymore, we can just leave it as is.
That's such a big slap to the face for the animators to just be like, the whole scene of like, why did you bring my tooth, you freaking creep?
Yeah. It was that moment, like, Tanjiro has often been played as like this very altruistic character, but in that moment it was kind of like you get more of like the fact that, like, yeah, he's kind of from the backwoods. Like, we've seen very established parts of Japan, like even feudal Japan or ancient, I guess, turn of the century Japan, for lack of a better term. I know we had the established timeline, but it's escaping me right now. But yeah, he is not all that accustomed to interacting with like normal people. So the fact that he's like, oh shucks, I kept your tooth, because like
you might have lost it.
You might want that back. Yeah. That was a great moment. Yeah. Well, and a little bit of the levity we needed before the hailstorm started.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The first third of this episode, before things went to chaos, I was laughing the whole time. The way that they were animating the dots and the eyes, the tooth scene, the entire Haganazuka, like, let me take care of it. No, what are you doing? Just let me take care of it. And him coming out of nowhere being so buff. I was like, Haganazuka, what? How? What do you mean? Like, it's just, I was not expecting the Hulk to come lumbering out of the woods.
Yeah.
sunset in real low. And the fact that his weakness is tickling. And then if you guys watch the little snippets at the end, apparently when he was a baby, they had to like use the little wind chimes and stuff. So they were just like using it, like trying to get him to come. I was like, I'm not a child, I told you this. And like, tickle him.
And then the way Tanjiro and them like tiptoed up to him when they wanted to tickle him the second time, like, go for his sides, go for his sides. Oh my God. I think I expected the episode to go such a different direction because they put it in place from the first scene. Oh, this whole thing is going to be a joke for the next 20 minutes. And I was okay with that. But they just set that tone and really subverted expectation.
Well, then you get the scene with the swordsmith villager walking down the steps at night, and he just comes across this piece of pottery. And that was straight out of it's funny because I just watched Evil Dead Rise. So the Sam Raimi horror homages are still fresh in my brain. And yeah, when I saw his body just crumple as he got consumed into that clay pot, and then I was like, okay, just waiting for the blood to come spewing out of the top, and they did not disappoint. But it was still, oh, and I have to call out, we've talked a lot about the music on this show, but the sound design when Kyoko like emerged and like his arms were like flopping around on the side of his head and just everything there, they really like brought everything together to make a satisfying but disgusting aesthetic.
Yeah, I thought he was fully going to be dissolved. I didn't think the blood just got soaked out of him and then the remains were just spit out like he's still alive.
Yeah, the twitching. That was what I took note of, is his body was still like, oh, there's something going on here. But
I said I started watching this at 1:30 in the morning, there's a reason I didn't go to bed till about 2:30, 3 o'clock. Yeah.
So, Zuhair, can you confirm for me, because you're mentioning that you did a rewatch, is it just me, like, in recency bias, thinking that the animation has been stepped up this season, or has it really stepped up? Because I feel like that entire vase scene with Gyoko looked stunning between the lighting on the vase and the rendering that they used to do that. Is it just me not remembering the scenes that felt that good in the previous seasons, or is it truly a step up?
The thing is that we haven't seen nighttime scenery in a while because the entertainment district was so well lit. And when the destruction happened, there was still fire that was lighting everything up. So now this is the first that we've actually been watching moonlight sequences in a while. So in frame of reference, we haven't seen that since the spider demons.
Hmm.
Okay. I can live with that being the reason why.
Yeah. So I'm sure the anime, like, obviously, like, they're not going to go backwards with their success, right?
Right.
So if it is, I'm sure like that is better. Like they are putting more work into it. They probably have more resources towards it. They hopefully have more of a budget for these people working on it. But it's also the fact that we just haven't seen that light setting in a while.
Yeah.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't want to shy away from Hantengu, no pun intended there, but while we're on the subject of Gyoko, I did find myself kind of thinking back to season one myself when we saw the fish-like monster demon that I guess he conjured or created or transformed into, what have you, and the use of like 3D modeling there. Like, it's been a while, I think, since we've seen that outside of like the buildings or the structures, if I'm not mistaken, and I found myself like thinking back to like that very, I think it was the demon that Tanjiro faced during the exam, since we were already talking about that, like the cycloptic green kind of Lovecraftian demon.
The one that took out the other two of...
Yeah, the guy with the fox mask.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I found myself thinking back to that. So it is interesting that you bring up just how well lit the whole entertainment district arc was. Because, yeah, I did find myself thinking back on season one quite a bit in terms of the animation style. And I don't think it was a quality thing. I think it's exactly what you're talking about. Just the mood was a lot more similar.
Yeah, it's... You have to give them credit, though, for the marrying of those styles, because a lot of times when they switch from a, you know, 2D to a 3D render, you kind of get lost. And instead, I was just like, whoa, what is this fish monster? What's happening here? Like, I was totally enraptured in the scene. And, you know, now that I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain of, oh, when is the last time we've seen a 3D rendering? The last one is...
I'm thinking Mugen Train.
I was about to say, Mugen Train is a super obvious example, but is so good I couldn't remember it until I sat here and was really like, oh yeah, that didn't take me out of anything. They just did it flawlessly. So the fact that they've done things that are comparable to a movie budget is probably a testament to what they're truly putting into this season. And yeah, I mean, we've only seen a portion of these demons' powers, but there's definitely more to hide out in there for sure.
Yeah, because when I thought Mugen Train right away, I was thinking like the sequences of the train on the tracks was kind of like transitionary. So we didn't see like our characters interact with it much. But then when Enmu like went full monster, really, like when we realized that it was a train, like that was when it started being integrated. But just because the details are very stroke like on the edges and stuff, it just all ended up blending really well. And I think this fish demon was done even better than what Mugen Train was in terms of like fitting into the scene. Anything that else that we want to say from like the first half of this with all the silly entertaining stuff? I want to talk about Nezuko getting her hair braided. That was adorable. Sure. My soul needed that.
And that's the exact scene I referenced early on that I verbally was just like, oh, this is so cute. Ooh, so to go
the baby.
Yeah, just like 1 minute apart of Tanjiro learning how to braid hair to everything else we just talked about. But
that was such a dope sequence of like when she started transforming, like her hair started untying. It's like, oh, it's about to go down.
I did like the mention of, oh, you know, your hair looks like your hero now, and that she's looking up to the Love Hashira, because it's going to be a really fun and interesting moment when she comes back, because it's very obvious that she's left the village because she hasn't come running in yet. So whatever it is that's going to draw her back is going to be a great team-up moment with Beast Mode Nezuko coming back around and the Love Hashira. The name is escaping me.
Mitsuri.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, while we're on the subject of Nezuko, I did want to bring up the fact that, like I mentioned on last week's episode, how Muichiro was present for Nezuko's like quote unquote trial in front of the rest of the Hashira, and he didn't recall it, but in this episode he started to recall it. He's like, she's very odd, like, have I met her before? And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool, the fact that like they confirmed that for me. I didn't have to go back and rewatch. It was just like, okay, they're on the same page, we're tracking. I appreciate that.
Yeah, he was very aloof throughout the whole scene too, like he didn't want to be at that Hashira meeting. He was like, can we do this? This is a drag. Like, for those who get the reference, he's very Shikamaru, but just more chill and a lot more confident in himself. But his, like, Shikamaru's line was always, what a drag. So I kind of get those vibes from Muichiro, which him interacting with Tanjiro like reminded us how much of the same age they are, if him not being a little bit younger, because in the sequence that we saw them in the first episode, it was very serious. It was just Tanjiro being Tanjiro, but them like being a little more goofy and the whole nose pinching to wake him up and all that stuff. Like you saw like a little more of like a childish side out of them, even if he has that stone cold face.
Yeah. But still no animosity there. Still no animosity. Yeah. And I do have to call out when he kind of had that first strike that he tried to land on Hantengo, and he had the mist just emerge, and he said, like, whatever form of mist breathing he was doing, I totally got, like, smoke screen squirt. Yeah, the fourth user, yeah, from
My Hero Academia.
Ah, yes.
Don't know why I was blanking on that one. Yeah, that's immediately where my mind went.
Yeah, as soon as he lined up, I'm just kind of like, we get to see pretty new animation now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. It's like, oh, we got one slash. Okay, what is the full brunt of the power going to be?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially if he's like the Sun Breather's descendant. He's part of some big family. Like, he's like one of those born to greatness people. I mean, understand that he became a Hashira at such a young age. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready for, like, obviously I'm really into the action, but, like, I'm actually looking forward to this backstory for him and what his family entails as opposed to, like, what Tanjiro's family entails.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. Like, they've given us enough teases that I'm just like, give me the answers. All of them.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty of questions that need answering, and I don't even know if that one's at the top of the list. It's up there, but I don't know. I think Genya is bringing a lot more questions to this fight, such as, why a shotgun?
Why not a shotgun?
I mean, I guess that's the answer, but it's just one of these, like, you're just going to throw us the classic anime trope of character with a gun when no one else has a gun. And I'm just like, you're not going to give us this answer out the gate. Is it vengeance? Is it, you know, is he pulling Percy from Vox Machina? Is it a inability to fight and he needs this as a handicap? Or is he just angsty? Like, what is the actual answer to why he has the shotgun? Because, like, him picking it up and mentioning, like, sorry, brother, I have to do this. You can't just tease me with that. I need to know why. What's the story here?
Let me share this article from comicbookresources.com. Demon Slayer is set during Japan's Taisho period, which spanned from 1912 to 1926. The period is distinguishable by its adaptation of technology, its fashion choices, and its clash of traditionalism and modernism. Not all those elements figure into Demon Slayer fights, but they are nevertheless palpable throughout the series' narrative.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you guys were asking about, like, specifically what time period it was, so I think this is... I think it was really what was fascinating about Rurouni Kenshin when it first came by is it was that period of like the end of samurai and the beginning of like military forces.
Yeah, what was that timeline again?
1912 to 26.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because like you can't publicly carry swords anymore, but trains exist, and now it's the introduction of, you know, more quickly reloadable weapons, and it's just like, hey, here's the option. Like, if technology is going and we're at this point where it's like the Demon Slayers have never had a high win streak, what's the next thing for a Demon Slayer to get somewhat of an advantage, right? Because even Tanjiro was like, what was that? Oh, it's one of those guns I've heard about.
I think you could smell the gunpowder.
Maybe.
Well, and he said it smelled like a Nichiren sword. So, I mean, I'm just assuming Nichiren bullets. Like, I mean, it's metal. It can be shaped into... Yeah. However, it needs to be.
Yeah. I said Nichiren bullets.
Yeah. So, yeah, on that note, and like thinking like this gun is probably something most of these characters haven't seen, I have not learned the various forms of Hantengo, their names yet, but the one that was just like gleeful about getting shot, like, oh, I've never felt a weapon like that before. Like, I was like, what is Hantengo's deal? Is he like inside out demon? Like, he just separates and compartmentalizes all his emotions like so much that they have their own separate identities, and he's basically a reverse Hydra. Like, you know, you cut one head off, two more grow in its place. No, you cut his head off, another body just emerges from that head. Like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. So I Googled it, and this first article was generous enough to not put the manga stuff in its title. But okay. The forms that we've seen are Hantengu, fear, Sekido, anger, Karaku, joy, and Aizetsu, sorrow, and Urogi, pleasure.
Okay, so that I think
feels like the pleasure one was the one that shot got off.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, baby.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting that you say the Hydra comparison, Jay Scotty, because that was one of my first thoughts after the head came off and he split. I was like, oh no, this is just going to keep splitting. This isn't going to be like last time. But the meta commentary of Tanjiro being like, wait, this is what we saw last season. What's different about this? And the show just being like, oh, let me show you what's different about this.
It's so much worse.
Yeah, no, it is worse. But you asked about, you know, what are these demons in the compartmentalization? I also like the dialogue of the demon that, oh, my form hasn't been brought out in, you know, a few decades. Uh-huh. It makes it sound like, you know, someone has had to put all of these back in. But anytime that they fight, they come out in a specific order. So does that mean they're getting worse and worse? And like, you know, it's basically a, you know, Russian nesting doll. And there's one on the inside that we don't want to see at the end kind of thing. But that's the one that we have to decapitate is the final, final boss here.
And then even as Tanjiro was studying, he was like, what's the pattern? Is one regenerating faster than the other? What's the limit? Like, all the stuff that eventually we would have started questioning, he was just like, don't worry about that. I got you right here. Just Deku sitting over there super proud, like taking all those notes.
I was just about to say, it screams My Hero Academia, evaluate the situation immediately.
Yeah. I like the visual comparison to like a Russian nesting doll, and I won't claim to be any kind of like mental health clinician or expert or anything like that. But I also thought of like dissociative identity disorder, and maybe they like all like take the spot at different, or take the light, I think is the terminology that they say, like they take the spotlight and they're the ones in control. So maybe because fear is the most of like a survivor, like they'll run when push comes to shove. Maybe that's why Hantengu was like in control for so long. But like now that they've all emerged, who has to say that the demons have to be killed? Like after the skirmish, maybe he'll get away and one of these other emotions will have taken his place and like come back at a later time.
His entry was very interesting too, because he was just in full prostration, like as he was opening up the sliding door. And he was just kind of like, anybody who's like, master's very mad right now, anybody who's in his way, I need to take out. But then he was just like frantically like jumping around the place. So it was enough to note that he was fast, like the flight definitely kicked in the flight or fight. And it was just at the point where it's like, I don't think he was trying to get his head cut off, but I'm sure he was very relieved when he did.
Yes,
I don't have to deal with this anymore. Somebody else's problem.
Because it also seems like his personality is no longer represented. Of all of the other regeneration that's happened, it's been these new personalities. So he's probably just now finally in the background, like, okay, I, again, he doesn't have to worry about it. But I have to say, talk about a redemption story. Of the minute I saw this villain, I was like, do we really need the whiny, like, I don't want to be in the fight, but is secretly powerful? Like, I was just not excited for them to be a part of the Upper Moon demons. But to find out this was the secret, and they're actually, you know, they have that big bulge in their head because there's so many things in their head, and they're just complaining because they have a headache. Like, okay, I'm all right with this. It's a Zenitsu level of, okay, he could be whiny sometimes, but when he does the cool thing, it makes him better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the fact that they had to send two of these guys, two upper demons, to deal with whatever Muzan's upset about is, like, terrifying. Because Tanjiro's, like, beaten to shreds already.
Yeah.
He's beaten. Genya's been stabbed. Muichiro went flying and already has, like, blood coming out the side of his face.
Right.
Like, yeah. This is the start? We have 9 episodes to go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Math.
I'm curious if this is going to be one of our first major fights that takes place over more than one day.
Yeah, that was when you said that there was going to be some type of slowdown. I was wondering if there was like one of the sides is going to retreat at some point and then carry on. And that's when Mitsuri shows up.
Yeah.
Because we need time for the backstories.
Well, because I was surprised. I thought it was like daytime when Muichiro woke up Tanjiro. I'm like, oh, it's the morning. He's waking him up. So then when I think it was the first demon like blew the hole in the window and it's like, oh, it is still nighttime and there's going to be a little bit of a fight. I wouldn't be surprised if we're approaching morning. So that might be our limiting factor. But there was also the mention of, oh, we can't polish a sword for, you know, we have to polish for 3 days straight in order to get this, you know, 300-year-old sword. So it might be, all right, we have to hold off the demons for 3 days until this sword can be the magic weapon that we need to kill them.
I'm not good at making a sword, but I can polish one.
Yeah. I know we're not super big on, like, specifics when it comes to speculation, but with all of that in mind, I hadn't even like, I appreciate the connection you made there about, yeah, the sword is going to take 3 days to polish. So I think that lends a lot of credence to, yeah, this battle could span multiple days here, but I could totally see a scenario. Like we've heard about how badass Muichiro is. We got to see a little bit of his action against the mechanical doll. I could totally see a situation where Kyoko is taken out in the first night and we get to actually see Muichiro in like all his glory. But then the fact that we've got, you know, the upper four here, that's, you know, what, like five demons in one? Like, that's enough to deal with already. Do we really need to, like, be fighting them on two different fronts? So I could see a situation where one of them gets taken out, and then this upper four is the real problem going forward, and it will take the span of those days, and it won't be over until we finally get that, you know, refined 300-year-old sword.
Yeah, everybody is split up pretty interestingly right now because we have Muichiro against Gyoko, and then Nezuko and Genya are against Anger, and I guess that was Pleasure, the one who was stabbing Genya. Mm-hmm. And then we have Tanjiro against the bird one, which I'm assuming is just Happiness.
Makes some sense.
Harpy, Happy. Doing too much there.
Yeah.
Dude, that super sonic thing that he did, the screech.
Yeah.
And Tanjiro's eyes is rolling behind his back. Like, that really made me cringe. Like, oh my god, that was just so well done. And then when he started using Hyper Beam, I was so scared for him.
Yeah, maybe he's picked up a few tricks from Uzui that we're going to find out about, you know, mess with the sound a little bit there somewhere. But yeah.
I mean, he said that his body was numb and he couldn't hear, so... No.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many things. And in the back of my head, there's still alarm bells going off because the minute you mention, Jay Scotty, that puppet that we have that is like the puppet of the number one demon, I'm just like, the rest of the upper three, they know about this mission. They could also just show up at any time and completely throw this story off course. And I'm terrified of that prospect as well.
They know about what's being looked for, but this was the first time that Gyoko or anybody had found the village. So it's still a matter of, like, I don't think they have ravens. How would he tell them?
I could see one of them following along. There was that flamboyant demon seemed very like, I want to go, and just like him popping up or them popping up and being like, hey, I'm here now too. Let me in the fight is a terrifying concept because if every other season has taught us any one thing, we're not going to see the next thing coming. Mugen Train, the demon, was a train. The spider arc, there was a whole family of demons that actually had a cause. And then Entertainment District, Dobby had a sibling within them. There's something else coming. I don't know what it is. And that just, I think it's the PTSD for lack of, maybe not a comparison that far, but just the remembrance of how we've always been thrown off the trail has me shaking in my boots of like, I don't even know. It's something's happening.
And we continue to test my theory of if the promotional pictures, if the Hashira is looking in the opposite direction of Tanjiro, it means they're going to die. If they're all looking in the same direction, that means they're going to live. Gonna give the weekly reminder of that.
Yeah. Yeah, keep it in the airwaves so that we can, so that you can say I told you so. But
I love those moments. They don't have often, but I love them.
Now, just give us enough time to see these Hashira fight, because Muichiro's great, don't get me wrong, but I feel like the teases we've got of Mitsuri's fighting style might be the most, what is happening here? I want to see this.
I think this closing sequence has a lot of the story, like the backstorytelling that we're going to be getting at some point in this season. Like, it seems like Mitsuri has a sister that she lost at some point, which is why she's like super connected to Nezuko.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that I'm curious about.
Okay. Kind of spinning off of that, I kind of gathered the same thing. I didn't know. I don't know if my mind automatically went to the fact that she lost the sister, but I saw the sister there and it made me think like, okay, we're also seeing flashes of Muichiro's like past, and he's got someone there with him as well. So I was like, okay, if siblings is a theme here, maybe that's his brother. And, you know, certainly with Rengoku, we got to see some of the interactions of a Hashira with their sibling, but there's also Ginya, who is a brother of the Wind Hashira. So I do think, you know, brothers and sisters is certainly a theme of this show, and it seems very specifically like this arc. So I will be curious to see how that all gets fleshed out in terms of backstories, or maybe even what takes place in the present situation.
Are we getting the Young Avengers for Hashira?
Well, I'll spin off that one. You talk about, you know, the young group of them. Can we just get one little, I don't care if it's a throwaway line, can we just know what Tanjiro's new rank is? Because it happened last season where they were like, oh yeah, we ranked up after Mugen Train. Can we know how many levels they got for taking out number 6 on the demon scale here? Like, I feel like they should be pretty high, getting inching closer to that Hashira mark. I just kind of want to know that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll Google that later. That's not a I need to know right now Google.
Yeah, definitely not for the show, because that one's loaded with spoilers.
Yeah. Any other pressing thoughts in terms of what we got in this episode?
I thought it was really cute that Haganazuka was actually working out just to make the perfect sword for Tanjiro, and the way that Tanjiro just went, "Oh, for me."
Haganazuka, you never cease to be the spotlight character when you're on the screen. By God, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Another Naruto reference of the Talk No Jutsu, which the fact that Tanjiro like got into Muichiro so quick that he was just like, okay, the logical order of thinking is I need to protect the elder, and the person with the most experience is the one that it needs to be protected first and have to save the village for the chief and do this and do that. And then he still went and saved the kid.
Yeah. He waited so long, though. Like, I remember when the fish monster was holding him and you just heard that crunch, and I was like, oh God. And then when he falls to the ground, Muichiro is just like, run. I'm like, is he even capable of running? It sounds like his spine was just liquefied. All right. Well, as we're winding down here, I will open up the floor. Do you gentlemen want to let our listeners know about anything else you have going on?
No, I'm on hiatus from other things. I'm tired.
Okay.
He sounds tired. And yeah, I don't have anything else going on besides the usual shameless plugs that we will always give here on the show. Feel free to follow us on all of our social medias to keep up with what we are doing. You could follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Animation Deliberation, and on Twitter at Animation Delib 1. On top of that, one of the best ways that you can support us is, as always, leave a 5-star rating and review. I'm sure you hear plenty of podcasters talk about it. And yeah, it is just the number one way to help us that is super quick and easy. You know, we got to fight the algorithm a little bit, but we definitely do read them. So by all means, put that out into the universe so we can hear your lovely feedback. But if you want to give it more directly, you can also email us at animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com. Be it feedback about the shows, feedback about our show, or just anything that you want to hear. And we will talk about that during our weekly animation roundup, or This Week in Animation, I think is actually the title that I was sparring until I could get to there.
Yeah, I like animation roundup as well, but I'm going to call an audible here and fly by the seat of my pants. I'm going to put a call out in addition to everything that Andrew just mentioned. Let's, in terms of fighting the algorithm, let's get animation deliberation trending. So wherever you hit us up, be it Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, just put hashtag animation deliberation. And let's see if we can get some more visibility on this show, because we love doing it and we want to keep doing it. So as for myself, what's up?
The goal that will bring me happiness is if I can just type in A-N-I-M on the search bar and animation deliberation comes up as an option.
A worthy goal. A worthy goal. I support it. Okay, and as for myself, I got a couple of things in the works. On HBO Max, the fourth and final season of Barry has started airing. So Matthew Carroll and I are covering that on Pandavision. If you enjoy that show, please check us out and join the conversation there. As well as the new show I am a regular participant on, Multiverse News. We talk about all of the news and happenings in the world of like big budget blockbuster fandom film. So if that sounds like your speed, check us out over there at Multiverse News. So one more time, remember the sponsorship that we have going on currently. Go to blendjet.com and enter code STAYWHELM12 to get 12% off your blendjet today. And thank you for tuning in. That's TOONIN.
And as always, stay whelmed.
Welcome to the ranks, Hagen Azuka. Muscle, muscle.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening to the Animation Deliberation Podcast, a proud member of the Stranded Panda Network. If you would like to contact us, you can email animationdeliberationpodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter at @animationdelib1. For this and other great shows, you can visit strandedpanda.com or join the great community that is the Stranded Panda Chat Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SPChat. Tune in next time, and remember, stay whelmed.